close that door, anybody? Oh, they might do it. Okay. If one tastes such love of Godhead, he can compare it to hot sugar cane. When one chews hot sugar cane, his mouth burns, yet he can't give it up. Similarly, if one has but a little love of Godhead, he can perceive its powerful effects. It can only be compared to poison and nectar mixed together. So, next verse is a Sanskrit verse from Vidugdhamala, where Purnamasi is speaking to Nandimukhi. Pida birnaba kalakuta katuta garbhasya nirbhasano nisyandena mudam shudama durima hankara sankochana prema sundari nanda nandana paro jagarti asyantare gayante sputamasya bakramaduras tenaiva vikrantayo Pidabirnavakalakuta katuta garavasya nirvasano nisyandena mudam sudamadurima ankara sankochana prema sundari nanda nandana paro jagarti asyantare gayante sputamascha bakramadurasthe naiva vikrantaya. Anybody want to chant? Anybody? What? I'll just read in English. I can't hear what you're saying. There's a lot of noise. Lord Chaitanya spoke, "My dear beautiful friend, if one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all the bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such a love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent. Yet, there is simultaneously transcendental bliss which pours down and defeats the pride of nectar and diminishes its value. In other words, love of Krishna is so powerful, it simultaneously defeats the poisonous effects of a snake as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarian." Purport. This verse is spoken by Purnamasi to Nandimukhi in Vidugdhamalava 218 by Srila Rupa Goswami. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Jagannath along with Balaram and Subhadra, he would immediately think that he had reached Kurukshetra where all of them had come. He would think that his life was successful because he had seen the lotus-eyed one whom, if seen, pacifies the body, mind, and eyes. Am I supposed to do 53? Four, who remembers? Four? Okay. Staying near the Garuda Stamba, the Lord would look upon Lord Jagannath. What can be said about the strength of that love? On the ground beneath the column of the Garuda Stamba was a deep ditch, and that ditch was filled with the water of his tears. Purport. In front of the temple of Jagannath is a column in which the statue of Garuda is situated. It is called Garuda Stamba. At the base of that column is a ditch, and that ditch was filled with the tears of the Lord. Om Gyanat Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namahashi Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sabadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantarara Kantanamostute. Pirabir Navakalakuta Katuta Gabasya Nirvasano Nisyandena Mudam Shudama Durima Hankara Sankochana Prema Sundari Nanda Nandana Paro Jagartya Syantare Gayante Sputamasya Bhakra Madarasthenaya Vikrantaya. My Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke, "My dear beautiful friend, If one develops love of Godhead, love of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, all bitter and sweet influences of this love will manifest in one's heart. Such love of Godhead acts in two ways. The poisonous effects of love of Godhead defeat the severe and fresh poison of the serpent, yet there is simultaneously transcendental bliss which pours down, defeats the pride of nectar and diminishes its value. In other words, love of God, of Krishna, is so powerful, it simultaneously defeats the poisonous effects of a snake, as well as the happiness derived from pouring nectar on one's head. It is perceived as doubly effective, simultaneously poisonous and nectarian. So here, Rupa Goswami is presenting a verse in Vidagdha Madhava, but we find that Lord Chaitanya is speaking the verse, because this is inconceivable. In other words, these verses were presented later on in the Ancha Lila. This is a summary study of what we're reading. The Kaviraj Goswami, he had claimed that he didn't know when he would, how long he would be able to write this book, and the book was quite long. Many times he has said that he has shortened the book. He could have written more, much more. And so many unlimited pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna that he could have included. And he had written himself so many verses, Govinda Lilamrita, which he included here. Those verses were also written after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, although they are spoken by Lord Chaitanya in the Ancha Lila. So similarly, this verse here in the Madhya Lila, spoken by Rupa Goswami to Lord Chaitanya, he is here saying that Lord Chaitanya is speaking it. These are some of the inconceivable chamatkar pastimes of our acharyas and their intimate relation with the Lord. So another thing is that yesterday was the disappearance of Rupa Goswami. So lest we forget, Lord, he has come to remind us here in this book. Was appearance? Disappearance? What? Disappearance. So Rupa Goswami, we're all as Rupa Nugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. And we're also Prabhupada Nugas, but that's a new term. But generally speaking, we're Rupa Nugas. And it's important to understand the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through Rupa Goswami. So later on in the Ancha Lila, this verse particularly, what we find also is that Kaviraj, the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, his verses are completely in line, we could say totally in the mood of Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya. So he writes a Bengali verse, verse 51. E premasvadan tapta ikshucharavana mukjvale na jai cha jan se prem jar mani tar vikrama se jani vishamrite ekatra milan. So he's giving the same thing almost in Bengali. But he's comparing it to ikshucharvan, as he's tasting hot sugar cane. Mukha jvali, it burns, but you cannot give it up. Prabhupada also said that about chutney. It should be so hot, it burns, but so sweet you cannot give it up. You love it. No, this is the taste of Krishna consciousness, especially when it develops to this point. When Rupa Goswami was presenting this verse before Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri, Ramananda Roy, all the great associates of the Lord were there. And he read so many verses. He wrote so many verses. It took a long time, really, if you hear about it. But he had started to write the verses, and even he didn't present the entire book for another 15 years or more. So there was the Vidagdha Madhava. This is from the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava, two great books of poems So Ramananda Roy, the intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, and Rupa, and of course Rupa Goswami, there was also Advaitacharya, Sarvabhauma, many great personalities were sitting. Rupa Goswami came to present his writing. So he sat on a lower platform than everybody, extremely humble. And Ramananda Roy, he is the intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was considered the most expert within the world in writing transcendental poetry. And at the time, Rupa Goswami was just coming to Jagannath Puri and a little bit unknown. So Lord Chaitanya wanted all the devotees to give the blessings so they could understand that this Rupa Goswami was empowered by the Lord. So when he was reading his verses, he began to read, then Ramananda Roy and everyone, they were struck with wonder. Even the Lord himself was praising Rupa Goswami. He said, even Rupa Goswami's handwriting is like a row of pearls. Just to see his writing, without, never mind even reading what it says. He was speaking with, as though he had so many mouths, just to praise Rupa Goswami. This is the pastime of the Lord, that he praises devotees, especially these great devotees. So, in the beginning, Rupa Goswami read introductory verses, and Ramananda Roy was asking him many detailed questions. Only someone who is not only expert in Sanskrit can know these things, but he has to be more expert, most expert, nipun. Only very rare personalities cannot even understand what is being spoken. The introductory verses to a drama, how they're written in five different ways. So Ramananda Roy questioned him, and Rupa Goswami was saying, how can I speak in front of you like that? But Ramananda was encouraging him that this is a shower of nectar you please give us. So in this way, Rupa Goswami, out of his humility, he didn't even want to speak. But when the devotees were encouraging him, he was speaking more and more. And Ramananda Roy and the others, they said that this isn't poetry. This is the essence of ultimate realization. This is more than plays. They're plays, but not the way we understand in English a play. It's very detailed and ecstatic. In order to present these transcendental mellows of Krishna and his intimate dealings with his devotees, gopis, cowherd boys, and others, elders, in the form of plays, it has to be done in the most perfect way. It cannot be just written like ordinary literature. No, it cannot be. It has to be completely perfect. All the mellows, there's so many. Just as we hear Lord Chaitanya was experiencing in the mood of Radharani, in separation of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya was feeling contradictory mellows. There's certain types of mellows that are not contradictory, some are. So this is inconceivable, unheard of, even in the Vedic literature. He was feeling at the same time humility, pride, restlessness, speaking like a madman, unmada, experiencing the eight types of satyaka bhav, being stunned and tears, ashru. When we sing Mangalarti, the first line, Mahaprabhu kirtanan nritya gita, badita maj and manasoras, kampashru, he's feeling kampa ashru, the tears are welling in his eyes and he's shivering in his body. Even Narottam Das Thakur, he gives us very nice lessons. Goranga bolite habi pulaka sharira, hari hari bolite nayane babainir. He's asking, when will I become like that also? Goranga bolite habi, when I chant the name of Goranga, Gora Anga. Anga means the body or the limbs of his body. They're golden, Gora. Goranga bolite habi. When I think of that form of Krishna and or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he has what his pastimes are. So Narottam Das Thakur is chanting very ecstatically, Gauranga in separation of the Lord. not separation, but he's longing for the association. Goranga bolite hobe. When will I bolite? When will I chant? Hobe. Hobe means when will that happen? Goranga bolite hobe. Pulaka sharia. The hairs of my body will stand on end. So even though we don't experience it in the beginning stages, we know that this is the goal, to feel this ecstasy, separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is feeling this ecstasy. So we're aspiring. Otherwise, how could we know it? If Mahaprabhu had not come to show this example, who would even know about this love of God? No one. We'd be useless, worthless. Just like Kaviraj Goswami says, ears would be like little broken conch shells, and our tongues would be like a snake hole and a useless tongue. So he's praying like that. Goranga bolite habe pulaka shiri, hari hari bolite nayani babe near. Nayani means the eyes. The words are also in these verses. Nayana. Nayana. Nayanamrita abrita abrita. Nayanamrita. Later we'll hear that Lord Chaitanya was speaking so many verses from the Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita, a very ecstatic, super ecstatic book by Bilvamangala Thakur. And many times quoted by the devotees. A little difficult to learn, but it's so ecstatic. So he was quoting so many verses, and also Nayanamritavatara. Mano Nayanamritavatara. Where is that Krishna who is the avatar who descends to satisfy my eyes and my mind with this nectar? So we're hearing about nectar, that Krishna is giving all this nectar that is just like defeats the nectar of the moon. So these are some of the verses that Rupa Goswami also presented. Shudanam api chandra maduriman marada. He's saying that the nectar of Krishna consciousness, the name of Krishna, defeats the nectar of the moon. Shudanam chandriyanam api maduriman marada. He had so many nice verses that he presented for all the devotees, and this was one of them, this snake. Very clear analogies, very wonderful alliteration, and these called alankara. So they, especially when you hear the Sanskrit, and it's in Bengali also, it controls the mind. In fact, he says that Lord Chaitanya can control the mind, jagan mana. Of the whole universe, he says, that one line is there, Sudanam Chaninapin Modan. It defeats the samsara, and it captures the mind of Jagamana. The whole universe, just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jagajana Mana Loba attracts the mind of the whole universe. Now we may go outside, it doesn't look like their mind is being attracted. The mind is attracted by Maya. Our minds are also attracted by Maya. Therefore, the devotees, as we just heard, they want to present this transcendental literature so that people's minds may be satisfied. Even Rupa Goswami was feeling so humble that he compared himself to an ordinary person who lights a fire to purify gold. He said, even though the wood may be ignited by an ordinary, low-born person, still, that fire can purify even gold. So he was praying that he was very insignificant, and that these verses, just as we read here, although they're the most exalted poetry ever written, that we cannot conceive, still he's praying that it will help the devotees, purify the heart. Because the devotees always want their hearts purified. Even Lord Chaitanya was showing such humility when introductory verses were read, like an arpita charin charak kuranavatir nakaro. Then Lord Chaitanya said, why did you put this poison in here? You had so many good verses, because these verses were glorifying directly Lord Chaitanya. Nija pranitam shudam udiyam apnyam yakchito karatyalam. That he's the emperor of the Brahmin community. Nija Praniyatam Shudam Udyam. He has brought this bhakti by himself. Nija Bhakti Yogam. All these verses, only several verses glorifying the Lord. Everyone was very pleased. And outwardly, Lord Chaitanya was angry. Actually, inwardly, he was pleased. He was saying, no, this is poison. Who will want to hear this? Nobody. Why are you glorifying me? This is... started to hold his ears. And Ramananda Roy, he's so intimate with the Lord, he said, no, this is not poison. Practically saying, don't say that. Rupa Goswami didn't feel himself in a position to speak like that. But Ramananda, he spoke like that. This is not poison. Everyone will be happy to hear this. Immediately contradicted the Lord. He could do that. Don't say like that. This is the nectar. So everyone was very pleased by these verses. So here, even if we just read this, it's all nectar for the mind and the ears. But what to speak of reading more and more, and we come to the Anchalila, where we hear more verses. And then when the taste develops, then we can get a hold of the original book. I can't recommend that for until we develop and we actually become familiar with this literature. But these are very wonderful slokas. One of them is given here, and later on more and more are given. Mahendra Mani Mandali Madhava Dembi Madhava Dambi Deha Dutir Vajendra Kula Chandramas Purja. And it, how Krishna's body is like a mountain of jewels. Mahendra Mani Mandali is effulgent like jewels. And Rupa Goswami's poetry is very, very exalted. And we have other great exalted poets. Rupa Goswami is the first and greatest. We're all followers, Rupanuga. So we should pay good attention how this nectar is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he predicted that people will learn Bengali just so they could read this. Even we're so fallen, we have the Srila Prabhupada giving us the Bengali in transliteration. We don't have to even learn it. I mean, of course we should learn it also. After a while, one learns more and more, little by little. Even those who are present-day Bengalis, this Bengali is so exalted, it's difficult for them to understand sometimes. Many Sanskrit words are there, mostly all. As we read here, a prema ashvadan, tasting. There are other verses where Lord Chaitanya is described as tasting it and causing others, the devotees, to taste it. He's causing us to taste this. Asvadane. So this asvadane is very important to taste. Taste prasadam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one day in the house of Advaita, all the devotees were tasting this prasad, the shak. Spinach. So it's one thing, we taste the prasad, that's important also. And there's a whole chapter about Lord Chaitanya tasting prasadam. But the real taste of the prasadam is in this, in these transcendental sound vibrations. If we don't get the taste of the transcendental sound vibration, then after a while we'll also lose our taste for prasadam. And Prabhupada says that at the end of this Madhya Lila. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami says, if one only tastes the prasad, that's okay, very nice. But he has to taste the literature. And Prabhupada emphasizes in that purport that one can taste prasad, but if he only tastes prasad and doesn't take his mind and bring it like a bumblebee, Vrindavanam divilata aparitam latashta pushpas purita agarbhaja pushpanich cha spita madhuvritani madhuvritascha shruti hari gita. There's another verse that Rupa Goswami presented, how in Vrindavan there's so many wonderful creepers, trees blossoming with malika flowers and pomegranate fruits and the juice is flowing down. He's describing one after another. And he says that on those wonderful creepers and vines with the flowers, it smells so wonderful, so nectar. the bumblebees are tasting it, and they're singing songs that surpass all the Vedas, and they're very pleasing to Krishna, Radharani and Krishna. So this gives us the setting of Vrindavan. The flute is described, a wonderful gold and diamonds and rubies, Aruna gems set in the flute. And the gopis are praising the flute, the same time they're transcendental envious of the flute. That the flute has some special mantra. We have to be very careful. We don't know where this mantra comes. Somehow this flute has, the parents of the flute must have been performing some special tapas, chanting special mantras, gone to some special holy place that we don't know about. It's getting the nectar of Krishna's lips all the time. Although it's dry, like the bamboo flute, it's just a piece of stick full of faults, holes in it. Holes are like faults. So the gopis are saying like that, transcendentally lamenting that even the gopis who are so, they're thinking that the flute is getting the nectar. We're not getting that nectar. Is meant for us. That Krishna's lips, but he's going into the flute. But of course that sound is so transcendental, it's coming out. And Rundan Ambu Britash, described also by Rupa Goswami, that the sound of the flute is piercing the outer coverings of the universe. It's going directly to Goloka Vrindavan, bringing Goloka here. It's causing even Ananta Dev, the carrier of all the universes, to whirl around, to spin, and all the four Kumaras and all the sadhus, the sages, to become stunned. That flute sound that causes all animate entities to become stunned, and all inanimate objects, or like the river, to become stunned. And so many things happen, unprecedented things in Vrindavan when the flute sound is there. But the flute sound is going out from Vrindavan. It's also like Prabhupada has come. Prabhupada came, he's playing harmonium. The harmonium is also very, very attractive. We get a little taste when we hear the bhajan, the kirtan, the sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like the sound of the ras, the ultimate ras. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it. Narad Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name. And he's putting forward this chanting. Namanyan Antasya Hatatrapapatam Guyani Badani Katani Chasmana. The name of Krishna, even Narad Muni's chanting. We read about it this morning. Everything becomes white. And the Jamuna becomes like milk. That the blue line on Lord Shiva's neck disappears. So many wonderful things happen at the chanting of the holy name. So little by little, by chanting, Lord Chaitanya is describing Gad Gad Daya Rudha Gira Nayanam Galada Shudaya Vadanam Gad Gada Rudaya Gira Pulaka Nichitam Babu Kada Tavanama Gahane. When I chant the holy name, all these amazing things happen. Even sometimes Prabhupada could not control. He tried very hard. He would sometimes become even stunned, could not speak, very rarely. But, so the devotees don't artificially try to jump to this stage. But naturally, little by little, step by step, one comes to this position. But he has to give up. Vishaya charya kabe shuddha habi maam kabe hama hare bash hey rabba shri Vrindavan. He wants to get to this stage of Vrindavan. His mind has to become completely absorbed. But that isn't so easy. One has to perform the tapasya. These things are never given up. The sadhana, very strict sadhana. In the morning he wakes up, he beats his mind with shu 100 times, Srila Bhakti Smriti. That beating is just this. Simple for us, cold shower, we come to Mangalarti, we chant our rounds. It's a very nice way of beating the mind. But one should never trust the mind, never put faith in the mind. Unless the mind is not a gentleman, wants to give us some bad advice. So therefore, Govinda Das, he's asking his mind, he's praying to his mind. Bajahure mana srinandananda. Mana shiksha. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's giving instruction to his mind. You do this, you do this. Have to take control of the mind. Mana eva manushanam karanam bandhamo. The mind is our best friend or our worst enemy. So the best solution to control the mind is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, reading Bhagavad Gita, again and again. No gap. Ananyas chait chintanto mam ye jana parila. Ananya. Ananya means no other thing. Anya bilashita shunyam. There's no room for speculation or any fruit of activity. It's a long subject. But best way is to always bring the bee-like mind, and or else the mind is like the stool, looking for the stool, like a fly. But if the mind is a bee, of course there's different types of bee. One bee goes to many flowers. It doesn't get caught. One bee, just like the sadhu, the renunciate, when he does madhukari, the type of bee that goes from place to place without getting caught. He takes a little here, a little there. So the sannyasis, the babajis, they're warned also. Swapaneo, korobai. Don't even dream of sense gratification. So we're very fortunate. Otherwise, there's so many so-called transcendental yoga systems. But what is that transcendental? They're doing something, you know, with the body and all that. But in the line of Rupa Goswami, is far, far beyond any mundane yogi. Lord Chaitanya compared himself to a Kapalika yogi who carries a skull or something. An ordinary, that the yogi of my mind is sitting in a garden. And the senses he's describing, they're just like carrying him away in different ways. His mind is, but he's being carried toward Krishna. He's galloping very quickly. But toward Krishna. Otherwise, the mind can take us anywhere. Therefore, Prabhupada has mercifully come, given these books, given the temple, given the program, everything he's given. And just that one has to take advantage. So the more one takes advantage, then he gets the opportunity. Otherwise, then, just like Prabhupada said, he quoted the Chanakya shloka, Tadane bahavo guna, lalane bahavo dosha. If you're very lenient, the more lenient you are, the mind will become out of control. And Prabhupada gave the example, just like we're known as shaven-headed. It means I ask you very humbly, I am an old man, I cannot force you. Please shave at least once a month. He was giving this example of controlling the mind. But if you don't take it, he said, you're already grown. Because he gave this Chanakya shloka, because at 16, prapte tu sodashe, that one makes friends with his son or his disciples. And so before that, if you're young, you can be controlled. So the father can say, shave your head. But once he gets to be 16, he cannot control, he can do anything. Therefore, he has to take from the guru. So Prabhupada's guru, he gave so many instructions. Therefore, he said, we should not be known as hair-headed. We are known as shaven-headed. Now we're becoming known as hair-headed. He was becoming alarmed in 1976. He said like that. So it's not that we can, without being strict, we can attain to this position of Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, or Narottam. But it has to be constant vigilance. And then we can become more and more spontaneous. The more we're attracted, the more spontaneous. The more we're attracted like that. Therefore, there's association. And we want to learn more and more. In that verse, Chaito, Dharpana Marjan, Bhava Mahadevagni, the mirror of the mind is described. Bhava Mahadevagni Nirvapanam, Shaya Kairava Chandrika Vita Vidyavaru Jivanam. This Prabhupada said, the more Vidyavaru Jivanam, Chandrika, the moon is becoming, as this becomes full, becomes So similarly, our knowledge increases, our ecstasy increases. Not mundane knowledge, but the more we study, the more we bring, vicharane, the more we bring our mind to the books, to the verses, to the teachings, the shlokas, prema dham, the more we get this prema. There's not any easy way, there's no shortcut way. It is shortcut in that we don't have to bother with anything else. Any type of yoga, anything. But if still, you cannot artificially come to the point of, you know, lamentation, all these various feelings, simultaneously poison and nectar. I mean, these things will be like licking the bottle of honey. They're inside there. We'll see them, but we cannot taste. Nobody can taste unless they strictly follow it and hear and chant again and again. It's not a boring thing. Prabhupada was laughing, and he said, some people consider this study of Krishna consciousness dry and boring. Prabhupada was laughing. So actually it will appear that way. Rupa Goswami says, unless there's control of the speech and tongue and all these six pushings, tadgadamulahantri, we cannot uproot the disease. It will taste bitter. Krishna consciousness will not appeal to us so much. But the more we do it, then the more we taste it, just like this. Tasting. Tasting through the ears. Actually, tasting through the ears, not just the tongue. This spiritual body you can taste in the ear. You can see by hearing also. You can taste by hearing. So those transcendental senses are developed. Then we... there's no end to it. It just goes on. Anandamudi Vardhanam, Anandamudi Vardhanaika Nipano, the six Goswamis. Hey Radhe Vrajadevike. They're not satisfied. Oh yes, Krishna. No. Where is Krishna? Just like Lord Chaitanya. Where is Krishna? Hey Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite. Hey Nanda, where are you? They're running all over like madmen. So these are some of the manifestations that Lord Chaitanya showed, and Rupa Goswami also, in the mood. How did he understand my mind? Lord Chaitanya, when he read the verse that Rupa Goswami wrote, he stuck it in the roof of his cottage, and probably a very little thatched, made of coconut leaves or something like that, in the roof. And so he went out to the bathe in the sea. Lord Chaitanya came there, and he found that verse. It was an explanation of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate longings as Radharani. But when he showed it and spoke it with Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar, he asked, well, how did Rupa Goswami know? He must have gotten you. So he was empowered. And Lord Chaitanya, in a very short time, he gave him these teachings. Of course, he seems like a short time, but actually he's the eternal associate of the Lord. So our only business is to understand it more and more. Ananda mudi vardhanam pratipadam pranam ritasvadam asvadam. This taste, we get this full taste. Lord Chaitanya says, this is how we get the full taste that we always want, the full taste. Material things have a tiny taste. Prabhupada described it like tap water dripping. Tap's not even working, it's just sometimes it taps. Prabhupada had experience, I'm sure, in India, tap not working, it's a little dripping, it's dry. Sutta Mita Ramani Samadhi also described the desert. It's like a desert, and you cannot quench a desert like thirst with a drop of water. You have to get the full nectar. So the heart is like a desert. Maru Prangane, Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Brajita Sadbhaktavali Hansa Chakra. He's describing the devotees just like swans, bumblebees, chakravak birds, and they're in the Ganga, in the river, this Krishna consciousness is just like the nectarian transcendental Ganga, full of these lotus flowers. So the devotees, they go like swans. Chaita prangana sangani jayati. Conquers the heart. We do not know, Rupa Goswami says, no jane Krishna divarnadvai. These two syllables, Krishna. This verse was also spoken at the same time. Tunde tandamani ritim vidanate tundavli lab. And the devotees there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, we have heard so many wonderful verses about the holy name of Krishna, but this, we have never heard anything quite like. And that verse was repeated so many times. When it dances on the tongue, tundavani. Lubde krana krodagadam. We want so many ears to hear the holy name. We want so many tongues to chant. Therefore, we don't understand these two syllables Guru Goswami was praying like. So, if you get a chance, we can jump ahead and read the Anchalila also, but here there's plenty of nectar to read. When these books were coming out first, we only had this book, then the next book, and we didn't have all the books at one time. So probably we're a little lucky that way. We got one book, and we got the next, but we couldn't jump ahead. I mean, actually, I got a chance to jump ahead, but I just fell asleep, because I used to sometimes sit or lie down guarding Prabhupada's quarters in Mayapur, and he was actually speaking the Anchalila, some of the wonderful pastimes. And I would try to stay up listening on top of my sleeping bag. And Prabhupada's up in the middle of the night, you can imagine, and he's dictating, you know, about the very intimate pastimes, the most intimate pastimes. And I was thinking, wow. And then it would be edited, and we would get a little chance to get a glimpse of it, but not everything, just a little taste. Rice is no longer available in the marketplace. Prabhupada was dictating that. Advaita Acharya had written one sonnet which only Srupa Damodar could understand. That Lord Chaitanya was about to would be giving up his pastimes soon. Prabhupada was clicking. We don't have the tapes, unfortunately. Prabhupada, or somehow or other, we don't have them. But gradually the books came out, one after another. Of course, in a 2 month time, there was backlog of transcendental nectar. Prabhupada said, I want, how many books are there? 17? I want 17 books. They said, Prabhupada, we can do a book in a month. Previously it would take us 3 or 4 months. Now we can do it in a month. No, I want all 17 in 2 months. So that had to happen. So gradually, but we got it in 2 months. And so, is there any questions? Yeah. Mike.
Thank you for the class. You talk about transcendental other yogas out there.
So on, but it goes right into it. Yeah.
Okay. So there are so many transcendental yogas out there. So I was wondering.
Transcendental literatures.
Literature and other practices also out there, like in India, so many practices happening. In all over the world, we see so many practices happening. But I was thinking, if all these practices makes their center or goal towards Krishna, so are they equal to the devotional service, or they are still different?
Do you say there's so many?
Yeah.
Who has so many? Where? I mean, okay. Name.
Lot of kind of. We have yoga and Kriya yoga and like posture yoga and many others.
Right, but so they don't have this Rupa Goswami, do they? If they have Rupa Goswami and they have Kaviraj Goswami and they're giving, you know, like that, Kavi Kanapur and so many great, do they preach this thing?
No, I'm saying if they make Krishna as their goal and practice the same thing, will they attain the same?
Not exactly. They'll make some advancement, but little by little, very gradually. It's like cooking with fire, but the fire is 2 miles away, Prabhupada said. They might, well, cooking maybe 100 miles away. You know, the fire is there, but they're propagated a story about the yogi. And this he said about some devotees who were being separate, not with the main ISKCON, not about some other yogis, but they were devotees, but they didn't work with ISKCON. So he gave the example of a yogi, and the yogi could do so many things. So one wealthy man, he said you could stand in, can you stand all night in this ice-cold river, like, you heard the story? Can you stand there? And I will give you so much money if you stand in this ice river all night. So he stood there all night, and the man left his secretary to watch them, if he did it or not. So at the end, after doing it, he was supposed to pay a lot of money to the yogi. So it seemed that he did it, but then he didn't really want to pay, and then his secretary said, well, actually, the man himself said, well, I don't know if you really did it, because there was a fire. You're a yogi. Somebody had a fire on top of that mountain, although it was 2 miles away. The yogi said, no, I didn't take any heat from the fire. I tell you, I was staying in this ice water all night. Even your secretary saw me. So later that time, then and that day in the morning, the man was going to have his breakfast, that rich man, but he was a kripana, miser. So at the time, he asked his assistant, where is my breakfast? What happened? He said, I'm cooking. So he went in the kitchen to see, why are you taking so long? He saw that he put the pot on the near the ceiling, and the flame was way far away. He said, what are you doing? How are you cooking like that? He said, well, if that yogi could take from 2 miles away, I'm sure that this pot can cook on the ceiling from here, no? So that wealthy man, he took the advice of his assistant, and he went back and paid the yogi, because he could understand. So, but anyway, Prabhupada gave it as an example that from 2 miles away, or what to speak of 100,000, you cannot. So the distant, because the goal is always given by Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktakaro bhaktido bhaktivedya. In the Chaitanya Upanishads, is bhaktakaro. He is the form of bhakti, Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktakaro bhaktido. He gives bhakti. He gives the bhakti. And he's only understood by bhakti, bhaktivedya. So to develop bhakti, actually, after study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the ultimate in bhakti. He's giving bhakti himself. Vairagya Vijaya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He is giving bhakti. He's giving vairagya. He's giving yoga. He's giving and vidya, knowledge, all these things. So any knowledge they have, Prabhupada said, any knowledge, Veda means knowledge. So any knowledge you have is Veda. You cannot say when it starts or where it comes from. Just like a baby cries. Babies have always cried eternally. So Veda means is eternal knowledge. So any knowledge that anyone has is, of course, everything else is ignorant. You can read in the chapter of the Gita, Agana. Everything else is again. Oh, I forget the verse. But he gives the listing knowledge, and then everything else is ignorance. So yoga is there, is bona fide yoga, they're doing. But in this age, Harinam, 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 Evikevalam, Kalo, Nasti. What does it say? Nastieva, nastieva, nastieva. Because three times means nastieva. Certainly not asti. Yoga won't work, ordinary yoga. And certainly gyan won't work, and karma, all three of them. They, unless they're at least dovetailed with bhakti, then they cannot give. So, but gradually you see people are taking to bhakti because their processes are very dry. Their yoga, you can press your nose only so many times, okay, I feel pretty good, all right. you do so many asanas, now what's next? Okay, they may be ready then, see? That's good, in a way. But you have to be careful not to take their association, but to give association. If you just simply say, oh, I'm all right, you're all right. No, Prabhupada said, no, we're all right, you're not all right. Sorry. Of course, we have to be careful. If we don't have adhikar, we cannot say like that exactly, but we can go in like a needle and come out like a plow. Anyway, somehow or other, you have to apply yena tena prakarena, time and place, you have to apply the teaching somehow, give them the highest nectar, highest standard. Anything else? Question? Okay, Hare Krishna.